Can I show you just a couple more pictures yet? This morning, for those of you who don't remember, is our first Pancake Sunday at the community room in Arbor Park. For those of you who might be here for the first time, the community right next to us, we renovated an old building, turned it into a community room over the summer. And one of the outreach things we're doing is for the month of August and again in September, we've chosen a Sunday morning to have a pancake morning, free pancakes for anybody who wants to come out for breakfast. You are not permitted to get up now and leave, okay? That's just not acceptable. So that's what this morning was about, and these are all up-to-date pictures. So with help like that, hopefully we can still get through the morning. But, you know, we had a line forming. I got these pictures about 10:13, so we were just early in the event this morning. Some folks, many of you know Lisa, that's her son Cody, and more satisfied customers on our pancake morning. One more here yet. So let me say this. This week, someone called me, a friend from Arbor Park, someone I know, and she said, you know, my neighbor just came over to my house, and she's really opening up about how broken her life is and how just a horrible, horrible place she's at. Would you be willing to talk to her? And I'm like, sure, of course. So I went over, we met in the community room, her and her neighbor and myself, Friday afternoon, and she started telling me about this brokenness and just horrific things that she's gone through. And, you know, I spent some time with her and tried to encourage her. But here's where I'm going with the story. Her friend, who contacted me to talk to her, I said to both of them, I said, you know, we're serving pancakes Sunday morning. Let me back up. The woman that I was speaking to had never had any connection with a church. And for her to come to a Sunday morning service, she told me, she said, I don't deserve to enter a church building. Well, I tried to correct that as strongly as I could. But when I said to her, I said, you know, we're serving pancakes Sunday morning. She said, I would come to that. So this morning, hopefully right now, she is establishing a few relational connections with our volunteers who are over there serving this morning. And again, our vision for that building is to be a relational space where the community is blessed and where the gospel is shared. And so we're doing this again in September. So if you want to be a part of that bridge, that first step for someone who, it might have even been a bold step for her to come to the community room to get pancakes this morning, but hopefully she will experience the love of Jesus while she's there in some way. And so when people sign up for that opportunity, it's not just making pancakes or handing out plates. You have the opportunity to speak into someone's life in a way that might be larger than you would ever, ever imagine. Okay? So that's what's going on over there this morning. So again, for those of you who are a part of making that community room a reality, thank you. Thank you for that. So we're excited about that. So now we'll get on with the last installment of this series, the Redemptive Gifts study. Again, I know there are some of you here this morning who are here for the dedication, who have not been a part of this. Very briefly, this is a look at Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, seven gifts that are mentioned there that many believe are actually a description of wiring, how we are born, how we're motivated. And our desire in looking at them is to, first, to get a better understanding of ourselves, but then also how God wants to redeem that, how he wants to use that for his purposes. John Waller, who I think is helping with pancakes this morning, when interviewed, are you in the room, John? Oh, there you are, John. You're not helping. I saw you over there earlier. That's why I thought you were over there. But John said something that really stuck out to me a few weeks ago when Rick was interviewing him and Bonnie about the teacher redemptive gift. And John's wondering, oh, what are you going to quote now, right? But John simply said, it was near the end. He said, you know, if Satan can't keep us from Jesus, I hope I get close to the way you said this. If Satan can't keep us from Jesus, he will do everything he can to keep us from maturing in Jesus. Am I close, John? From becoming what we're supposed to be. And that's what this study is about. This is not about just getting a better understanding of yourself. It's about how can I now see my personality, my wiring redeemed for God's purposes. That's what this whole study is about. So, okay. So, bring up the next slide here. These are the seven gifts that are mentioned in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Prophet, servant, teacher, encourager, giver, leader, and mercy. The dates on there are the dates that they were presented, and those you can listen to those on the podcast. Now, you'll see I have a couple words down here to the side. In my list, I use the word encourager. Some biblical translations use the term exhorter. Now, I use the word encourager because we don't use the word, in our day, we don't use the word exhorter a lot. But to exhort means to strongly encourage. Now, let me give you an example. Just about 5 minutes ago, I described for you a volunteer opportunity at Living Hope Community Church, and that was in helping serve pancakes at the community room. But I hope that when I described what was happening and how God was using it, that it may have possibly been for some of you a strong encouragement to say, I want to be a part of that. Now, I don't know how well I did at that, but that was my hope. And it wasn't just because I was using it as an example. I truly feel that way. But I think that's a little snapshot into what it means to exhort someone. You encourage them. It's not that you're telling them what to do. You're inviting them into a grand venture. You're inviting them into something that's going to be amazing. And so I'm believing that the volunteers this morning are going to experience some things that are amazing. And we're going to be able to hear those stories. So, yeah. Encourager, exhorter, we might go back and forth on those words, but that's what we're talking about. This person, that this is just natural for them. It's natural for them. The Greek word is parakaleo, which means to come alongside, to urge, beseech, to comfort, to encourage, to exhort. I would say an encourager is more about pulling than about pushing. You've all been pushed, right? Like, get out there. You got to do this. It's your turn. You have to take your turn. No, an encourager does more with pulling, encouraging, convincing people to do that. So, now, I don't know if he's an encourager or not, but did you hear what the one mayor in Rockport, Texas said this week? With the storm advancing, he said, if you choose not to evacuate, please write your name and social security number in permanent ink on your arm so we can identify your body. Now, if I lived in Rockport, Texas, that would have motivated me. That would have exhorted me. I think it's time to go. You know what I mean? Like, literally, write your social security number so we can identify your dead body. He didn't say the word dead, but I think he should have. Okay. So let's get into discussing this gift. As you can see, two chairs up here again. I've asked Bryn McHugh to join me this morning. Come on up, Bryn. Now, I'm going to move this out of the way. Here, you can have that. Okay. So this is Bryn McHugh. Those of you from Living Hope recognize Bryn from being on the worship team from time to time, and Bryn is the wife of Brian. They are the parents of two children. And Bryn is, obviously, with her presence here this morning, an exhorter, an encourager. So, Bryn, we're gonna dive into this gifting. I was going to mention just very briefly two people from Scripture that are suggested were this wiring, this exhorter, encourager. Were Moses and Paul. You know, Moses, you talk about casting vision, you take a group of slaves who have not experienced anything from God for 400 years, and you have to mobilize them to believe that, yes, we are the children of God. We are going to go out into the desert, and God is going to provide us. He's going to take us to a promised land. That was a pretty tall order of casting that vision. And then Paul, you know, the apostle Paul, he would go into a town for 2 to 3 weeks, and when he would leave, a church would be planted. Like, his ability to cast vision and to mobilize people and get them behind a cause was pretty much unparalleled in the New Testament. So that would be two quick biblical examples. But so as has been our format, we're just going to start with some of the characteristics of this particular wiring. I've asked Bryn to talk about some of them, and then we'll get into the core motivations behind it. But so Bryn, the first one, and I know I always chuckle when I hear this one, but an encourager exhorter is described as a party looking for a place to happen. So explain that. What does that mean?
So life is like a giant party. Like everything is an opportunity to have a party. And when I talk to Pastor Ron on Friday, he's like, well, what does that mean? And I'm like, there's things that I think about that I think are normal that other people are like, what? Like if my family's going to Dutch Wonderland and we're getting ready to walk in, I'm like, everybody needs to stop. Put your hands in the middle. We need to do a family cheer. And they're like, Mom, we don't need to do a family cheer. Like, or we'll go to, if we're going to Costco and my kids are like, I don't really want to go to Costco, then I'm going to turn it into something fun. I'm going to make up a scavenger hunt. And then as we're walking through the store, my kids have to like check things off on the list. Or, if it's your birthday, it's going to be like an over-the-top celebration. Or, I was thinking about this morning, like if I'm riding in the car and I hear on the radio, like today is National Ice Cream Sandwich Day, a lot of people will be like, oh, cool. I'm like, oh my gosh, we have got to go buy cookies. We've got to buy ice cream. We got to celebrate National Ice Cream Sandwich Day. Like if there's a celebration, I want to be a part of it.
Now some moms pick up some of those skills just to help things run smoothly,
yes.
But this comes naturally for you though. It's just automatically there for you to think
really
like that.
Thinking about it, yeah.
And, okay, so then going down the list, this type of person is highly relational. They're highly relational. They're all about relationships connecting with people. And that leads into the next one that I ask you to say a few words about, that part of this gifting is this person is able to create almost an instant rapport, a connection, you know what I mean? Like a respect or a connection with strangers, with people they've never met before. Say a little bit more about that.
I just love meeting people. Like if I'm going through the line at the grocery store, if I notice something about the person that's checking me out, like I'll strike up a conversation with them and all of a sudden, can find out a lot about them. Or I'll be up at the playground with my kids after school. There was one day where I was talking to a teacher's aide and we just started talking and all of a sudden, like she starts sharing all these deep things about her life. Like it's very easy for me to just pick up a conversation with someone and just start to get to know them, like very quickly get to know people.
Right. And to some of you, you're like, absolutely no way. Like, I don't even enjoy talking to strangers, much less would I be able to have any kind of meaningful conversation with a stranger. But again, this wiring, this gifting, that comes very naturally. For that reason, exhorters, encouragers, often find it easier, I should say, maybe even the word easy, to move a conversation from natural things to supernatural things, where you talk about, you bring God into the conversation. It's just very natural because of that rapport that's been developed. There's a platform then to speak from. And kind of coming out of that whole thing, relational, rapport with strangers, there's another thing on the list here that says an exhorter is able to have a pretty loud argument or disagreement with someone without severing the relationship. So say a little bit more about that.
When we were talking about this again on Friday, we were just talking about how an exhorter, like I just said, you're kind of able to strike up a rapport with people. And I do it not just because, here's this clerk at the grocery store. It's more like I really care about people because we're highly relational. We care about people, and I think that people sense that. So if you're getting into like a tough conversation or you're having, I don't even know if argument would be the right word, but like a heated conversation, it's a little bit easier to do that for people to have that and not walk away like totally severing their relationship with me because I think they know at its core, even if I'm coming to you and I'm saying something that's hard or we're disagreeing, I really care about you and about what's best for you.
Mm-hmm. This type of person, this gifting of exhorter, encourager, generally is very good at communication because of their relational skills, but also verbal skills. They're usually very good at communicating. For those of you who have been around Bryn at all, I think you would probably recognize that. You know, when Bryn communicates something, it's communicated very well, very clearly. Another thing you and I were talking about and preparing for this morning was something that we found in the notes that says this person is a visionary. And contrasting with the prophet, because we often say a prophet is visionary as well. But this idea is that a prophet sees long and deep, where this exhorter sees the wider, bigger picture.
And I was thinking about that more since we talked about it on Friday. Like, okay, how do I put that into words? And I think you'll probably get into this, but part of the gifting of an exhorter is that they really sense, like, I desire to know the heart of God. Like, what is God's heart on the matter? So if I walk into Living Hope and I'm up here leading worship on a Sunday, I can get like a just a bigger picture, like a picture of what God is doing for the body here, because I can see what his heart is for the body here. So God will often speak to me in pictures, or, you know, I really have a heart. Pastor Ron and I were talking on Friday for human trafficking, different things that are going on in the world. I can really get like a bigger, just a broad picture of like, oh, wow, God, this is what you're doing right now, you know, in this situation. I just see like a big picture of what God is doing.
Just a couple more things really quickly. It's very easy. It's a natural tendency for an exhorter, encourager, to seek the approval of others. Because of their relational connection, they're very tuned in to, am I being accepted? Am I being received by others? And that's actually one of the things an exhorter has to kind of work through. And we'll come back to that. The next one is that this person is often dramatic and even melodramatic. So you can ask Brian whether that's true about Brynn. I did ask her. She said, yeah, that's true. They are a natural leader that inspires and mobilizes. They do have a passive leadership style, meaning they're not heavy-handed. I said at the beginning, it's more about pulling than pushing. Does that resonate with you, those two words?
I think so, because I don't really want to force somebody into doing it, but if I can get you like really excited about something, and again, it all comes from like the core place of like, this is God's heart for you. So it's not like, you just have to do this. You know, I'm going to push you into this because it's what's right. It's like, no, like, come on, join me in this bigger story, because this is like, I want you to fulfill what God created you to do. So it's more of like an excitement for what God is doing, what he's doing in you, than a like, this is what you have to do.
And basically, this is pretty much what you just said. The last thing in my notes in this section is the exhorter is able to govern or lead by persuasion rather than principle. And it's what you just said. Rather than telling someone, like, this is right, this is what we have to do, it's more like, this is important. Do you see how much difference it'll make if we do this? So for you on a personal level, I just want to hear a little bit more about your journey with this. Tell us when you first were aware of this teaching, and did this particular gift kind of jump out at you?
It did jump out at me. I heard, I think the last time Living Hope went through this, was it like
2011, yeah,
okay.
6 years
yeah.
ago. Yeah,
I knew, you know, it's very obvious, like the party waiting to happen, those kinds of things, like very much jumped out at me, like that's who I am. But I didn't really think much about it. Do you want me to go into more like what I was saying?
Yeah.
So then when Pastor Ron asked me to get up and talk about this now, and as we've been going through it this time, I think it really started to resonate with me more. Like, okay, it's not just about the party waiting to happen. Like, at its core, I think God was just really revealing to me this past week, even as I went back and read through some journal entries that I'd written, like, I just so want to know what God's heart is. And I so want to know, like, what is his heart for the body? What's his heart for people? What's his heart for me? And when I look at a situation, I don't just want to look at a situation and see it for what it is. I want to say, okay, God, here's what's going on, but what's your heart in this situation? So I feel like there's certain things that have been a part of my life that all of a sudden this past week, as I was kind of reading through this, I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. You know, I really did struggle with wanting the approval of others, and you've been taking me on a journey now to God to really just go with your approval and what you think about me. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this past week, even things were really clicking mm-hmm. and resonating.
As you look deeper into it and gave a little bit more thought. So I'd encourage any of you as we go through this, and again, this is the last Sunday morning other than the Sunday outdoors, where we'll be addressing this, but really ask God to continue to reveal to you these things about yourself for his purposes. One of the things that I found interesting as we talked, it's suggested that people, that exhorters, because of their relational, their desire to be with and around people, can really struggle with having quiet time. All alone, there's no one there, it's just them and the Lord in a quiet place. But as I talk to you, this particular aspect of your wiring has actually looked different for you.
Yeah, I mean, but I thought about that a little bit more this weekend, too, as we talked. It, for me, it's looked different because I just always, from the time I was a young kid, like, I just remember loving spending time with Jesus. Like, I'm up early before my family is. Like, we'll even be on vacation and my alarm is going off at 6 a.m. because I just want to be up and I want to hear what God's heart is for me and for my family for that particular day. So I just love spending time with the Lord. But one of the things I was thinking about, you know, I wonder, as I've become, God's been maturing me, this is becoming a little bit easier. But through the years when I've struggled with things or things come at me in a day, instead of, because I am highly relational, instead of just running to the Lord and saying, okay, God, like, what do you have to say to me in this matter? I would, like, call a friend and be like, can you just pray for me? And it's not bad to ask for prayer. It's, we need people. We need to be supported in that way. But just kind of learning, okay, I don't always have to go to people and have my relationships kind of meet my needs and tell me what to do. Like, when it all comes down, the first place that I'm trying to run now, if I have a bad day, is, like, right to the Lord. Like, my relationship with him, meeting him in the secret place and getting his heart on the matter versus, like, what everybody else thinks about it.
Mm-hmm. And you use the word maturing. That's a maturing journey for those of you who are wired in this way. It's a maturing journey where you look to God before, or you certainly give him preference to the human relationships. We'll kind of circle back around that too. Explain to me why the encourager, exhorter is a visionary. What's the connection between those two words?
I think that this past week that really became more clear to me because I was, you know, I don't even know if I could have remembered that that was a part of this gifting. But I think, like, the role of the exhorter is to meet with God in the secret place. And when we meet with God in the secret place, and we're all supposed to meet with God in the secret place, but when exhorters meet with God in the secret place, they hear God, they get God's heart on a matter. You know, like, God hears what's going on, like, what's your heart on this? And then when we get his heart on the matter, then we're able to, like, stand up in front of people or go to the people, you know, that are dealing with that issue and kind of cast a vision. Okay, this is where you are right now, and this is what you're really struggling with, but, like, this is God's vision, and this is his heartbeat for, like, where you're going and for what he's doing. And so, like, we get God's heart in the secret place, and then we go out to the masses. Like, Moses would, you know, go up on the mountain and meet with the Lord, and then came back down to the people and said, okay, this is what God is saying, and I'm going to encourage you and get you excited to get on board with this.
And as we were talking, it was interesting. You said that even this thing of being, like, kind of wired as a visionary, and, you know, visionary, who wouldn't want to be a visionary, right? Visionaries are awesome. You know, we applaud visionaries and, you know, these great visions and ideas and plans, and I wish I was more of a visionary. But you said that even that thing of getting a vision, the flesh can still be wrapped up in that. Just say a little bit more about that.
Again, I think that's one of the things that I'm growing in and learning. Like, it's such a... it's a heavy weight and a responsibility. Like, if God gives you a picture, he gives you his heart on something, and you're going to go out and you're going to share that with people, like, I'm accountable to the Lord for what, you know, someday I'm going to stand before him, and I'm accountable to him for what I say, for what I am teaching and sharing with people. And I need to be so careful that, you know, because we exhorters are highly relational, we want the approval of people, but I need to make sure that when I get up and I'm sharing things, or I'm you know, even if it's in my family, I'm motivating my kids, that it all comes from a place of, not because I want to seek the approval of men, not because when I get off the stage or get out of a group that I want people to say, like, wow, Bryn's so awesome, she did this. Like, it has to be so laser focused on the Lord, because I'm just working for an audience of one, for the Lord. And so at the end of the day, when I motivate people, it has to all be, I have to so check my motives, like, am I doing this because I just want people to get really excited about something that I'm excited about, or am I doing it because I want them to get excited about what God is doing and what he's excited about, and doing it solely for the purpose of to know God and to make him known. Mm-hmm. And if people don't remember my name forever, that's awesome, because it's about knowing God and making him known.
And I think that applies to, no matter what your gifting is, that applies to any follower of Christ. You know, Paul said that we're supposed to work as though we're working unto the Lord. We're working for the Lord. And if that truly is our heart, He is the boss. He's the one we're trying to please. But it is so easy as humans, we get caught up in our human boss, the one who signs our paycheck. We want to make sure he's pleased. And it's good to try to please your boss. Don't get me wrong. It's good to be a good employee, and I want my boss to be happy. I hope you want the same thing. But the flesh can be so quickly involved in that. So,
And just to add to know, because exhorters can get really excited about a lot of things. I mean, if I find a brand of toothpaste that I really like, I can sell you on that toothpaste, and you're all going to go out and buy that toothpaste because it's, like, so exciting, you know, whatever it is. And so it's just figuring out there's a lot of things I'm excited about, but, like, God, what do you really – I can't just go out on and run in my own strength and get people excited about things if it's not God behind it telling me to get people excited about things.
So – I'm going to put up on the screen here. If you've been here for a number of weeks, you've seen them. This general layout. Three core elements. We've tried to identify three core elements of this particular personality, encourager personality, and every part of every gift has a mature expression and an immature expression, depending where we are with Christ. And another way I would say it is the immature expression comes out when we're walking in the flesh. And the mature expression comes out when we're walking in the Spirit. That's a very simple way to say it, but I think it's a very accurate way to say it. So, Brent, talk to us about this first one. Relationships, as we said, this person is relational. But then these two words that I have up here, that the immature side of the relational personality is horizontal, while the mature side is vertical. Say a little bit about that.
I think when we were talking, like, just in relation to the Lord, right, is that we were saying on Friday, like, in relation to the Lord, it's about, like, the immature just kind of is more surfacey. You know, you're just kind of in it maybe more for things with yourself, whereas when you're growing in maturity, you're growing in, like, a deeper relationship with the Lord and with people, not just, again, it's not for your own gain. Like, at first, it's like, oh, I just love being with people, and, you know, connecting with God is cool and it's fun. But the more that you grow in maturity, it's like, I'm going to grow deeper in my relationship with you, God, and have deep relationships with people so that, again, it all goes back to, like, to know God and to make him known, to go deeper with God so that his purposes are fulfilled instead of just relationships that meet my needs because it's fun to have relationships.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Let me bring up the next one. Influence. We said that this person is an influencer. They're a visionary. They can mobilize people. We'll get to that one in a moment. But so the two words we have up here is human vision is the immature expression, and then revealing God is the mature expression. So how do those words tie into this area of influence?
You know, again, I think it's just what I've been saying. Like, you know, I could influence people so that they just get on board with what I want or the things that I'm excited about, or so that they think that I'm, like, a great singer, I'm a great whatever it is. Like, you know, I can influence people for that. But really, it's all about as you mature, it's like, God, what is your heart? You know, like, what is your heart? What are you saying? And I want to go out and I want to change the world and I want to influence people with what God is doing, with what he is saying, and with what his word says.
Mm-hmm. I know Arthur Burke writes about how one of these battles for the exhorter, encourager, is that when you feel that God does reveal things to you, you're hesitant to move forward in them because you're afraid you're going to hurt someone's feelings. You're so tied in with relationships. But there are times for an exhorter where you have to get past that. I mean, the bottom line, like you say, is revealing God and revealing what he's saying.
And realizing that people, you know, because we exhorters really want to be liked by people and we want to be accepted by people. And so there's times when we're going to have to say something or do something that not everybody's going to like. That, I mean, God may have something on his heart that he calls us to share, get people excited about, that at first people aren't going to really like you because you're saying that. And you have to be kind of okay growing in, I'm okay if people don't like me, but God, it's what you're saying, what you're mm-hmm. doing. I'm still going to move forward and say this or do this.
Right. Okay, here's the last one then. The word is mobilizing. And the immature side is busyness, and the mature side is God's purposes. I know we're repeating some of this, but maybe just touch on that word of mobilizing people.
Again, so I think it's just getting to God's heart. Like, this is what he's doing, this is what he's saying, and, like, not just having all these busy things that you're doing just for the sake of doing them, but really mobilizing people. Like you said, Moses, I mean, he had to mobilize people to cross the Red Sea, to, you know, move out of slavery into the new things that God was calling them to. And again, I think it's just being very focused on, like, just eyes on Jesus. Like, what are you saying? What are you saying? And this is, I'm not just going to mobilize people with busy things they can do. I'm going to motivate people so that in the end, like, all of it just points to Jesus and what he did for us and what he's doing now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll bring up this last screen. Again, we put this up each time, that what comes natural for an encourager is relationships, evangelism. I don't think there's a lot left to be said about. Did you have anything? I mean, we've hit that one pretty well. And then we've alluded to this one to a degree, but this can be the battle. If you are an encourager, if you're an exhorter, this can be your battle, is seeking God's approval. What does that mean, the battle to seek approval from God?
I mean, I think for me personally, just growing in knowing, like, it really, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about me. It doesn't, it just, my approval just needs to come from my Father. Again, like, I'm working for an audience of one. Even when, if I stand up here and I'm leading worship, or if God calls me to, you know, speak to a small group or whatever he's calling me to do, like, it's just, it's all about me and the Lord, and it's about his, like, he put his seal of ownership on me, and he approves of me always. And so as far as just my relationship and being seated with him, and so I just need, you need to keep that in mind and in focus, instead of worrying about, like, well, if I get up and do this, or if I do this, like, what do people think about me?
Right, right. So in a moment, I'll ask Bren to pray for those of you who, you know, you're saying to yourself, you know, I think this is me. What Bren has been describing describes me. God has created you as a person of influence because of the way you can relate to people, not in a pushy way, but in an inviting kind of way. So, yeah, again, you look at people like Moses, you look at people like Paul, who are used of God mightily in that function. So I'm going to do what we've done each week. I'm going to ask those of you in the audience who you think, you know, this is, I think, who I am, or this, I'm pretty sure this is who I am. If you're willing, I'm just going to invite you to stand now so we can pray for you. Do we have any encouragers? All right, we do. Exhorters. Yes, we do. Awesome. This is a good place to insert very quickly about the little insert in the program where we're asking you to identify your gifts. That would really be great for us as we continue to ask God about the identity of Living Hope as a congregation. So what's your exhortation for the exhorters? Just, well, say a word to them and then pray for them.
One little thing I was just thinking, I think it's so cool, you know, that exhorters are highly relational, because God will give you these visions and these grander pictures, and it seems so exciting, but to remember that then we need all the other giftings to bring these things to pass. You know, like last week, hearing about the ruler, I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, we need these other giftings, because, you know, I see this big picture, but then I need, like, the rulers to come in and say, okay, here's some practical steps that we can take, you know, to get to that place. And I think, too, just to encourage people, if you are wired this way, like, I think the main take-home message, even as I was processing this past week, is to just get alone with Jesus, because it's in the secret place that God reveals, I mean, for everybody, but especially for the exhorter, where God reveals his heart. And you just want to be so careful that the things that you're going out and encouraging people to do are in line with God's heart and with his word and with what he's doing. And so just remember that it's all about him. It has nothing to do with us, and it's all about him and knowing him and making him known.
All right. So pray for these folks, will you?
So God, thank you for each person that is standing up right now in this room, for the unique way that you have wired them and you have gifted them. And God, I do just ask that there would be just a new anointing on their life, a new ability to be able to meet with you in the secret place, that they would be able to carve out that time, that they would be able to put aside other relationships and things that they have going on, that you would give them the time to meet with you, so that they can then go out and share what you're doing with the people around them. God, I ask that you would give them encouragement, that you would fill them up with your encouragement, with your love and your good pleasure over them, so that then they can go out. And as they're filled to overflowing with that they would be able to pour that out to the people around them. And Father, I pray that you would just remind them that it's all about just they're working for an audience of one and not for the people around them, that you would help them, God, to not seek the approval of men, but to seek your approval. So I bless everybody that's standing right now just to fully be who God made you to be and just to continue on that journey. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. A couple things, just very briefly. We're almost finished. I just wanted to remind you briefly about the Sunday morning outdoors we have coming up. And that's two Sundays from now. Next Sunday, Fa will be joining us, the missionary from, Thailand. Thank you. I just drew a blank there. It's really going to be good to hear from her next Sunday. But then 2 weeks later at the Sunday Outdoors, September 10th, we're going to take the sermon time and we're going to break up into groups around the camp grounds there to talk about these seven gifts. And there will be an eighth group for those of you who are still maybe undecided. So it's just going to be casual, outdoors. And I wanted to say, if you had like a friend or neighbor you were thinking you would bring along for that morning and now you're wondering, well, is it going to be weird with the groups? They're going to be fun, I promise. It's just going to be discussion. I mean, they can sit in on one of those if they want. They can sit in on the group that I'll be leading, which is the one about, well, maybe you're not sure yet, just some general information. So we look forward to that. Also, we're structuring it in such a way that even your children can be involved in that. There will be some oversight for the children available, but if you have, you know, teens, of course, will be with us, but even elementary age kids that might like to sit on this, we would love to have them sit in on the groups. Very quickly, the redemptive gifts test that's at the welcome desk for children, for you to take as parents, that is also available now on that website that is noted on your program. So it's available there in PDF form. You can get it there as well.
It's very helpful. Yeah, we enjoyed reading about our kids. So if you have small kids, I would encourage looking at that.
Yeah, so there are some copies out there, but you can also get it on that same file sharing site that we've been using for this series. Two other things. One thing briefly about the memorial service that's happening here on Wednesday for Sandra. That's planned for 11 o'clock. Your program mentions a viewing at 10. That's not happening. That's been changed. But the memorial service will be here at 11 o'clock as noted. So, for those of us who are able to join us to support the family, that'd be great. And Mike Richard texted me just a couple minutes ago. He says he thinks they served about 25 people this morning in the pancake breakfast. So that was 25 encounters that people had with the body of Christ in their own neighborhood over something as simple as pancakes. So let's just close with prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to serve 25 of our neighbors. We're trusting that number will go up as we go along. And again, God, as we reach now the teaching conclusion of this series, God, again, our heart in this is not primarily to learn about ourselves. That's the first step. But the second step then is to be able to bring that to you and say, God, how is it you want to use us? And how can we best serve you? So God, I pray for the body at Living Hope that we would increasingly be walking in an understanding of how you've created us and how you want to use us. So bless this body today, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Bryn. Thanks for sharing with us this morning. And